Yes, and welcome once again to another podcast episode show of the TJ Macaloon Show. I am your host, as always, TJ Macaloon, back with another week, another episode here, as I just said. Sorry, little distracted here as the co-host is trying to find a spot to have a seat as we get down to record this intro and then shortly thereafter record the outro and put all the bells and whistles in between here with our guest this week, Alfred. Also known as Big Nasty, also known as, at one point in time, as we get into the open the show, one of the most not well-liked wrestling columnists, internet columnists, I don't know what you would call him, a feature columnist, with Forbes and also with Bleacher Report, and also his own work over at Pod Nasty, his podcast, which he gets a lot of big names from the WWE world to come on and spend some time with him, and also some very big names from the Place to Be Nation podcast land. Myself to come on and speak with him and talk about wrestling and maybe, you know, that just reminds me, you know, we talked earlier in this time we've done this show, 14 episodes in now. He was episode two, Alfred. We talked about you know, Hulk Hogan, and it was right after the racial remarks he made on his tape that was leaked to the public. And we had him on, and sure enough, this time, right before we taped today, if you follow myself and also follow Alfred on Twitter, you know, you'll see that he retweeted a tweet sent to him from the columnist Brandon Stroud over at UpRocks and with Spandex. Did a story on Hulk Hogan now potentially not coming back, but how Triple H said that he wants him back in the fold if Hogan goes through all of the redemption. Is that be the right phrase for this one? The reconciliation, maybe the being sorry for what he said when he didn't know he was being videotaped. That whole tour to get him back in the good graces with the Federation and the Entertainment Company or whatever they're called now. And of course, today before we decided to tape, the whole news broke, and you know, we did not want to. I didn't want to go down the racial rabbit hole as myself and Alfred usually do when it comes to wrestling. But sure enough, we had to touch on that topic. So it was funny that that all broke. But it's also the last time we talked, either on my show or his show. We did some E40 lyrics, and I wish I would have brought it up. But, you know, I remembered it right as soon as we were about to take the intro. A new E40 track dropped this week for the pop radio for, you know, the mainstream radio listeners, which I tend to be, but usually on Spotify, but not on the regular radio. But I wish you had talked a little E40, as Nasty is from the L.A. area, E40 from the Bay, but still California is California. So it'd be nice talking to him about that and not just racial topics or what the WWE is going through right now, or what, you know, it was like putting out a not controversial article, but one that the general public did not agree with, like Alfred did over his little piece about the divas and happening to cry after some matches that were very emotional. So we get into that, and we get into what actually happened after last week's Raw. And everything transpiring with the Paige Charlotte storyline, if anybody's turning at Survivor Series, which we both, I think, agree that no one should turn, because if it's all predicted, it's all expected to happen. When it does happen, it's not as big of a shock, which when something like that magnitude of someone going from one allegiance to another should be shocking, shouldn't be you know, so premeditated that we can see it from a mile away. Like when Rock turned in 97 at the Survivor Series Deadly Games tournament, no one saw it coming, so that's what made it such a big deal and such a huge moment in time for his character and also us fans who were watching during that era. So Alfred's coming up here after the break. Be sure to listen to everything that Place to Be does. I know their Survivor Series coverage has gone through the roof. I know they had one podcast that's called Between the Sheets that I think went on for 4 hours. I haven't seen the timestamp on it, but I know the guys who do that, they're very well vested into wrestling and everything they do. So if you're a hardcore fan, I think you enjoy them. And also if you're a fan that has time to kill in 4 hours and doesn't mind having a podcast on in the background or listening that intently for 4 hours, well, God bless you, because I can barely pay attention for more than 30 minutes. That being said, 5 minutes is too long for my intro. Here comes Alfred after the break, and thank you for listening. On the show this week, back. We've had 13 episodes here at Place to Be Nation with the TJ Macaloon Show. We've gone anywhere from Andrew WK to Sean Adams to Matt Miller from Bleacher Report as well as number one guest.
But the second guest here, my old friend here, is the first time we get a repeat offender on the show. I believe I was the first repeat offender on his podcast. And it was just fitting that he'd be the first repeat offender on my show. So from Bleacher Report, from Forbes, from Place to Be Nation, I guess, with the Podnasty, and from anywhere else you may find wrestling and a video or just talking about it, it is Alfred. Let me start by first question. I might start crying during this podcast. So if I start crying during the podcast, is it going to make this show a less of a show?
Well, it might make me cry. Nah. And if we both are crying, it will make it less of a show. Absolutely.
Well, I swear I had this conversation with everyone I have on, because everyone I have on, they're in the realm of doing writing on the internet or performing or whatever, and they deal with the idiots who think they know better. So what was the blowback like for that article over at Forbes on Sasha and Bayley?
For Sasha and Bayley, now you're talking about the article about the women wrestlers crying after the matches?
The unnecessary blowback. Were you giving your opinion?
Yeah, of course, and that happens. It's something that you really, to me, it's imaginary. I don't really think anything of it. But, it's just people saying, the thing is, a lot of thoughts are very complex. A lot of opinions are very complex. But we live in this world where everybody wants everything boiled down to where you're with it or you're against it.
Right.
Or if you say something controversial, oh, that's misogynistic. Oh, that's this. But there are so many layers to what I said. And what I actually said, the article and the stance that I'm taking on women not crying after matches, this is a pro-woman stance. This
right.
is me saying these women are going to be main eventing pay-per-views one day, but they're not going to be doing that unless they stop crying after matches. So, a lot of people took that and said, oh, well, you're being sexist, which I'm being completely the opposite. I'm fighting for women's rights, and I'm saying, I know that the women crying after matches, maybe it is, a lot of it is real emotions, and that's fine, but WWE is being a little too liberal in letting them do that, namely in NXT, where, okay, you have this great match, now we're going to give you flowers, you're going to cry about it because it's this great event that you just had a match. No, it's not. Okay, I've been watching NXT for a year, very closely, and women having these really good matches is nothing new, and it should not be treated as something novel anymore.
Well, does it kind of break down the fourth wall as well? Because we're lost in the moment that one person's a bad guy, one person is a good guy, or girl, I guess, in this realm, and having them break that fourth wall, it kind of takes you out of it, doesn't it?
It absolutely does, and I know people say, oh, it's an emotional moment, it made me cry, blah, blah, blah. Once in a while, once in every 5 years, okay, I get it. But if it's routine and par for the course for these women after this great feud to then say, oh, wow, look what we've done together. Yes, it takes me out of the event. I want to see the winner happy and the loser angry. One of the most iconic images that we've seen is, remember when John Cena lost to The Rock for the first time?
Yes.
And he's sitting there in the aisle at WrestleMania just with this dejected look on his face. That's a very underrated moment that I think further that feud is that you kind of got an inkling that this isn't over. John Cena now is going to go into the next year, a sad, broken man. And that was great storytelling leading up to the next match.
Right. Well, and this leads me into here from what happened on Monday. They had the Paige and Charlotte contract signing at the end, and they didn't like that they referenced, Rick's youngest son, Reed, happening to kill himself, after overdosing on drugs. Now, is that a thing where people don't want that to be brought into light because of overreacting just to overreact? Or is it because, oh, it's two women talking about it, and if it was, say, Roman and Kevin Owens talking about something about their kids, it wouldn't be looked upon as negatively in that aspect.
Oh, no, I don't think that the gender ratio has as much to do with the overreaction to this angle. I think if there was anybody bringing up, we've seen this before in WWE, we'll see it again. In terms of the gender aspect, I will say that a lot of people are saying that Charlotte was bullied into this, and WWE right. should be ashamed of making this poor woman who can't defend herself was bullied in this angle. You don't know that. You're just being a misogynist. So, yeah, in terms of the misogyny, it's the people who are saying that Charlotte was bullied. I don't know what happened backstage. You don't know. All I know is that it made it on air. So from that point, I'm not assuming anything. Okay, Charlotte was okay enough to where she did this on air. Okay, I don't have a problem with what happened. I know I'm supposed to. I know I should be outraged. Outrage is imaginary. Go around and everybody who's saying something terrible about this going on, these same people will be watching Survivor Series, okay? If you're really that mad about it, go to Stanford, storm those offices, and make a difference. You won't. Your outrage is imaginary. Now, as a human being, I feel bad for Ric Flair that he was included in what happened, but at the same time, I'm glad I'm feeling something for the Divas Division.
Right.
Okay? I know the heat is going toward WWE. I know WWE is dealing with a lot of this, but if you don't think this is going to trickle down to this match, if you don't think this match suddenly is more meaningful, you're crazy. And guess what? The Divas Division has a clear-cut babyface in Charlotte and a clear-cut heel in Paige. They haven't had that for months, if not years. And I'm glad they're at least creating a dichotomy creatively with these Divas.
Yeah, exactly. It's better than jealous or crazy or whatever else is the hot button for that Divas Division. But isn't it weird that the pushback on, you know, the smart wrestling fans that are over the internet and make up a lot of, you know, the fans that are the hardcore ones, they clamor for the Attitude Era. When doesn't this storyline seem like something right out of the Vince Russo playbook of the late 90s?
It absolutely does, and I'm not sure that's much of a compliment.
No.
But this is, it was shock value. I know it was done very bluntly. What I take from this is that now we have a heel. Now Paige has actually caused a reaction, and, you know, people are going to say what they're going to say about bad guys and good guys. One of my frustrations about WWE right now is that there's no real heels. Everybody's a fake villain. People are chanting, fight Owens, fight. People are singing along with Bray Wyatt. Give me a bad guy who I don't like. Give me a bad guy who makes me uncomfortable. And that's what Paige did. And, I mean, I doubt WWE is going to continue to pluck that chicken, although Vince is a provocateur, so I'd have a problem if they did. I want heels to go too far. I want heels to say things that make me uncomfortable. I want heels to transcend and create a national discussion. I have no problem with that.
You know who the biggest heel in the WWE universe is right now? This person's not even involved in the product as it is, but I'll give you one guess at who their biggest heel is right now.
I would have to say Kevin Dunn? I don't know.
No, Melissa Joan Hart. That's their biggest heel right now. Don't you feel bad for what has come her way for one? Yeah, don't you feel bad for one harmless tweet that the avalanche that has come her way?
Yeah, and it's just another example. I mean, wrestling fans are just such, they're so sensitive, and like for a form of sports entertainment that's supposed to be over the top
right.
and so fun, you're not going to find a more, you know, serious, uptight group of journalists and fans, with the exception of me and you, of course, take themselves so seriously, and they get so angry about things, and it's like, dude, you're watching professional wrestling. This is a sport where people body slam each other based on disagreements that could end in small claims court.
That's true.
And you're getting angry at this? Like, do you have a job?
And it's people that are, you know, I've loved this the sport since Hogan Andre of WrestleMania 3 is my first. Actually, my first remembrance of the sport is the old double turn, or not double turn, the double Hebner ref incident where Hogan lost the belt and 4-year-old me just lost it because I was a Hulk Hogan big fan at 4 years old. And that was my first memory of the sport. But really, it's a very silly thing to think that, you know, we get worked up over why Neville is with a guy who's pretending to be from outer space against two mythological pharaohs. Is that what the Ascension is? Or are they keepers of some tomb? Is that what their MO is?
You know, I never thought of it that way, but that might be what they are. All I know, you know, I'll tell you what they're not, is over.
That's very true. Actually, I'm glad you brought this up. It just brought in my head because I'm thinking of last week's NXT. They came back. Jason Jordan and Chad Gable fought them. And if I remember correctly, when you came on about a month or two or however long it was ago, you said Jason Jordan was the next big star. I'll give you the floor here to gloat of how right you are.
I still believe that. Obviously, in this tag team, what you're seeing is Chad Gable is going to be the breakaway star with the fans, with the hardcores. But if they keep this thing going to the main roster, make no mistake about it, Jason Jordan will be the guy that WWE zeroes in on, and he will be in that mold of Roman Reigns, John Cena, as the company-approved guy. And, yeah, sure, maybe the hardcores won't like it, but Jason Jordan could wrestle. Jason Jordan, he's developing a personality in a promo. Again, I see something there. That's not a strong suit, but it'll come. I do believe it will. And I'm telling you, I've been saying this for months. Is it Jason Jordan? You know, I had a WWE draft with some columnists in the Bleacher Report. If you were to start a company, I selected Jason Jordan, I think it was like my last pick. They didn't even know who he was.
That's amazing.
And so he's slowly but surely gaining momentum. And I've seen this kid for a while. It's one of those things where you look at him, you're like, oh my God, this guy's going to be a star.
Could he be in the Brock Lesnar mold?
He could. Athletically, there's nothing like Brock Lesnar, and I don't think there ever will be again.
Yeah.
Until, like, the next generation or two of evolution. That's how much of an animal that guy was. But he will be in the middle of, like, a Kurt Angle. Just a real. You see it in the ring. He's very polished for somebody who, you know, really just started learning wrestling a couple of years ago. Very polished. Uses a lot of that catch-as-catch-can style, but it's exciting at the same time. So his wrestling will do a lot of the talking for him, which will put him ahead of the eight ball in terms of winning over even the most smarmiest of fans.
Well, you know, and I said Brock Lesnar just because he has the collegiate wrestling pedigree with being from Indiana. He's got muscles on top of muscles on top of muscles, like Brock. So he's that freakishly, you know, strength about him. And it seems like he can move as agile as Brock could, you know, back when he first jumped on the scene in 2002. So that all being said, maybe down the road he could be that way, or he might get put in that Big E category of big guy, but we're going to forget about you because of the one thing I'm not bringing up because of, you know, don't want to walk into that landmine.
Is it his smile? Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah, exactly it. His smile and his ability to be a bodyguard, and that's it.
No, I completely understand what you're saying. I mean, there's definitely going to be a ceiling, but I don't know. We're going, by the time Jason Jordan and Chad Gable get on the main roster, I mean, what's going to help them is that WWE is slowly but surely moving into a new direction, a new era. A lot of these NXT guys, I mean, it'll behoove Triple H, who has growing power in the WWE, to put these guys over and make these guys look like stars, you know, because NXT is his baby. And as good as it is in selling tickets overseas and selling tickets around the country, the ultimate indictment of NXT or the ultimate judgment of whether or not this is a viable, successful brand is how are these NXT stars doing when they go to the WWE main roster? If enough of them go to the WWE main roster and fail, NXT will start to look bad. And it's not going to really help the drawing power of that brand. So, I mean, I just think the fact that Chad Gable and even Jason Jordan are part of NXT is going to help him at least get the best shot possible at succeeding.
Do you think NXT is failing when they come to the main roster? Because I personally don't think that's the case.
I don't. It's hit or miss. WWE just needs to learn what ticks about these guys. And NXT is good because of subtlety and irony. NXT is very good at... they're not going to beat you over the head with anything, but the fans are going to really gravitate towards these crazy, out-there acts like the Adam Rose. WWE, on the other hand, is just going to present this to the fans like, hey, you guys like this guy? And people are going to look at it like, I know, I don't get it. You know what I mean? And so there needs to be a connection between NXT and WWE writing teams in that here's what made this guy work in NXT, here's how we got this guy over, and here's how you can use what we did to help him get over at the broader scale.
Would it benefit NXT for that transition if on Raw they spent 5 minutes of an NXT recap? So when someone like Tyler Breeze makes his arrival, as I was in Austin when he made his SmackDown arrival, and of course I freaked out, my buddy Casey who was with me freaked out because we know Tyler Breeze, and there was probably out of the 8,000 people there, maybe 1,000 that, you know, popped because, hey, here comes Prince Pretty, here comes the guy who's currently residing in Morocco or wherever it is. But a lot of the other ones who were around me were kind of just looking at it like, all right, why is Dolph Ziggler get cloned and who is this guy? So what do you think in that realm?
Yeah, that's a good idea to have recaps for 5 minutes. Even have them show up on TV, you know, conversing with the top stars. And it's like, you know, like before, you know, they always have that traditional thing where the stars walking to the ring before the match. Have them talk to somebody and said, oh, by the way, there's John Cena. He's conversing with Finn Balor. Finn Balor's the NXT champion. We might see them cross that soon. John Cena's match is next. You know what I mean? Like something quick that you see, and then you're immediately like, whoa, who's that guy who's talking to John Cena? And because the Google effect is so strong, the Google, Twitter, social media effect, to where if you saw something like that, you would immediately jump online and try to learn everything you can about them. And that will create a connection to where when you do see them down the line, it's like, oh, yeah, I remember that guy.
Right, because you get Neville up there, and you're like, okay, great. He can do a lot of offensive moves. But the WWE ether kind of forgets he was the NXT champ for almost a year and had a great program with Sammy. So, you know, So in that realm, do you think when Finn eventually does come up, he's going to be hurt by 70% of the audience watching Raw or SmackDown not knowing who he is because they don't watch NXT on Wednesdays?
If all I did was watch WWE, I would have no idea who Finn Balor is. I've seen very little mention. For a guy who's NXT champion, I've seen very little mention of him. I mean, when they show clips of NXT, it's about these great women's matches, but a lot of other aspects of NXT get highlighted without Finn Balor being a name that they talk about. Mm. So if WWE has any desires to bring up Finn Balor within the next few months, I mean, they need to start right now in terms of getting the mainstream audience assimilated with this guy.
So next call-up is going to be who, and I have an answer if it's not the one person I can think of because it's who might want a certain person to feud with once this Survivor Series is over with, if they're healthy.
Next call-up, you know what, to be honest, I see Baron Corbin leapfrogging some people. I mean, if you watch Breaking Ground, he is a focal point of that show, and I think WWE's done a good job of just talking about how he clicks. He's the type of guy who WWE is going to like. Again, I talked about that front office mentality. He's perfect for them. He's got the right attitude. He's kind of a natural heel. And, you know, usually you see a guy hold the NXT title for a while in NXT before they go up. I don't think Baron Corbin needs to do that. I think he's ready for the main roster. I think the reason that he does such a good job as a heel in NXT is because they see him as a WWE guy. Mm-hmm. And if they just start him off as a heel, get him some wins, I mean, he's a ready-made finished product in my eyes.
You know, I do agree with that. It's not the person I'm thinking of, but I do agree with all the points you make with Corbin in the role that, you know, one thing I loved about him and his build up to the Brooklyn match against Joe was him saying, I don't care about all these indie guys that come in that all you fans love. I'm here just to kick ass and take names. I'm like, that's perfect right there because your babyface heel is that Samoa Joe, the Balor, Cruz coming in, or even now with Rich Swann or Biff coming in as well, which if they don't turn Rich Swann or Rich Homie Swann, like Rich Homie Kwan, you know, a play on that, then they're missing out. But the guy who I want to see come up, if he's healthy, is Sammy. And feud with Kevin Owens, maybe screw him out of the Survivor Series fantasy booking or screw him out of the TLC match next month if they do position him in a main event spot then. And let Kevin Owens and Sammy run with an IC title feud and hopefully go into Mania. Your thoughts on that or what?
Oh, I would like that. I mean, I didn't even think of Sami because he's hurt, obviously. And, right. I mean, coming back to NXT would be kind of awkward for Sami because his last feud was against Kevin Owens. Mm-hmm. But again, I mean, they had an NXT feud. So if he just comes back and attacks, you know, Kevin Owens, a lot of people would be like, oh, my God, a fan has just jumped the railing. Somebody stop him. WWE fans aren't going to know about this long-standing rivalry that these two have. And even to educate the NXT audience about it, they had to go back into the archives and do a lot of storytelling there. So WWE, in terms of having a feud between Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn, it's going to have to be something that is teased, something that they clearly educate the audience that, hey, these guys used to be traveling the world together, and now they're in WWE together, and show us what happened in NXT before they even think about having them come together in WWE.
Could they, now if they jumpstart this feud up, would it be smart for them, I mean, not here in Survivor Series, because Georgia, I'm not sure how much of a, you know, a quote-unquote smart town it is, as compared to, say, they would jumpstart it in one of the northeastern towns like Philly or New York or maybe even Cleveland, who know the backstory.
Right, yeah, it would be a lot better to do this in, you know, far east. Do this in New York, do this in Philly, Chicago. Do this somewhere where there's a lot of nerds.
Yeah, exactly.
A lot of wrestling fans who would know what's going on, who would, you know, At least, because here's the thing I've seen with smart, quote-unquote smart audiences, is that they'll chant for somebody who I know the mainstream audience doesn't know, but if you see that many people chanting for somebody who you don't know, you're going to want to get to know them. It's right. Like, oh, I want to be part of that. Oh, who's this guy who's so over? Man, like, I want to be part of this. So that's one of the things that kind of, it's a manipulation ploy where you get a guy who's going to be popular in a certain region, and then other people are going to see this and want to know more about him.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I was saying. One last thing on Sammy here before I move off to what's coming up with Survivor Series and what is going to happen or what not's going to happen. Does it help that he's already been on WWE TV for that one hot moment before he injured himself and getting that refresher of showing that moment of him going up against Cena before, blowing his shoulder out?
It does help that he had that match against Cena. And you have that clip, and so it really did boost him that his first match was against John Cena. What hurts is that WWE moves so quickly,
right?
And it's just such a next enough thing, and there's so many storylines and headlines in and out of the ring that just attract attention. It's so easy to forget something like that.
Right.
And so if you want that to be mentioned, you'd at least show his match against Cena and show, don't even talk about the injury, really. Well, they could talk about the injury because that's why he's gone. They could say, yeah, he got hurt. But it was against Cena. He almost beat Cena with a bump shoulder, so that would really help him.
Yeah, he got hurt dancing his way to the ring and throwing his arms up, so that's what you get for being a babyface, and don't be a smart, don't pander to the crowd. All right, so I guess that's a good segue into the Survivor Series. Who is turning, and why?
Nobody. A heel turn is so freaking overrated. Tell me the last time you correctly predicted a heel turn. I mean, every month Roman Reigns is supposed to turn heel. The last time a real heel turn happened was Seth Rollins against the Shield, but nobody thought he was the one going heel.
True.
Everybody thought it would be Ambrose or even Reigns. You know, the time before that, it was Randy Orton turning heel in 2013. That was like the last time a really predictable heel turn happened in a while. Everybody always predicts heel turns, and they almost never happen in the modern era. Okay, and when they do, it's a complete surprise. It's not something that you could... I think the reason Triple H went around talking to different guys is so that you can, so to drum up that discussion only for nothing to happen. I think if Roman Reigns turned heel, God, would that be dumb? Because per storyline, Triple H offered him the title up front. He said, no, I'd rather go through three guys fighting this grueling tournament and then turn heel. Well, why didn't you just take the title in the first place, dummy?
It's not
and
very efficient.
Dean Ambrose, okay, yeah, let's turn Dean Ambrose heel. Now, who's the top babyface, okay? So Dean Ambrose goes heel. We got number one Roman Reigns. Who's number two? Kalisto? Would be a better babyface than Kalisto if Roman Reigns goes heel. Well, Dolph Ziggler and his damaged goods? Cesaro and his damaged goods? No. So, like, I don't think anybody's going heel. I think every time I hear a really good push for somebody to go heel at a pay-per-view, it almost never happens. It happens all the time with John Cena, where there's all these clues that he might go heel.
Right.
No. With Roman Reigns at WrestleMania 31, Paul Heyman said that he knew his family and whatnot. He didn't go heel. Okay, so WWE likes planting seeds for somebody to do that, but really, it almost never happens in the modern era.
You know, it's funny. I was about to say Kalisto, too. It's like one of your contributors, our colleagues over at Forbes brought up, so they're planning a major heel turn. I think it was one of his articles. And I subtweeted it by saying, it's Kalisto. Definitely him. Is either him or going to be Zack Ryder? It's one of the two. I think the hype bros are going to break up at Survivor Series. No. But
no, that would be interesting. I might be wrong. Look, I would not be surprised if somebody would heal. I've just seen this movie too many times where WWE plants all these seeds to get you talking, and then nobody goes heel.
Right. But, it doesn't really make sense. I mean, it does make sense if Roman does go and turn and be the main heel and try to go the Rock route of doing it. But if he does that, I think the people, the review of Survivor Series is going to be, nope, terrible heel turn, terrible, didn't work out. Because no matter what he does, it's going to turn out to be, nope, terrible, right?
Right.
So.
Right, it's going to be exercised no matter what.
Yeah, so that being said, maybe someone turns face. Maybe we get behind the have some be a good guy. What do you think about that? What if Kevin Owens, next thing you know, stands up for justice and becomes a good guy?
I mean, there's always a possibility of a double turn, but again, that's very rare. I can only think of two double turns in WWE history. I'm sure there's been more, but the two that come to mind is Dolph Ziggler, Del Rio, Bret Hart, and Austin. So it's extremely rare to see something like that. But if I did see a babyface turn, I mean, it would have to come as a result of a double turn. Like Kevin Owens makes the finals and Roman Reigns cheats,
Right.
or something of that nature. You know, Del Rio makes his finals in, you know, in Ambrose cheats or something happens like that. But, I mean, I'm telling you, I don't think there's going to be a monumental turn of any sort. I think WWE is just going to move forward with what it's got. I think the babyface Ross, everybody said, oh, we need a new top heel now that Seth Rollins is gone. Well, you don't need to turn somebody. You could just build somebody up.
No, that seems counterproductive.
The babyface side is doing a lot worse than the heel side is. There are a lot of heels, but not a lot of consistent babyfaces.
Well, what about, you know, that double turn, it worked in Survivor Series 97 during the Deadly Game Tournament. You know, that's what happened. Rock became the heel, Mick Foley became the face, and they're off and running and going from there with their whole program, with which is one of my favorite matches from that whole era, their Super Bowl halftime show, where they have the empty arena match, and that, I think that still sticks in my head almost, God, I'm old, almost 20 years later. I feel very old just saying that. So, you know...
Wasn't that long ago?
I think it was 97, 98, so we're coming up on 2016.
Oh, my God, yeah. Oh, my goodness. I'm feeling old, too.
Yeah, right?
I love that match. But, we could see something like that. We could definitely... one of the things that makes Survivor Series so intriguing is it's another pay-per-view where there's so many possibilities as to not only who's champion, who, quote-unquote, turns heel, who doesn't turn. You know, there's so many possibilities WWE can go with. You know, and remember, Sheamus is lingering around.
Just going to bring it up.
You know, and the night he cashes in, maybe they're doing all this stuff to distract us from the fact that Sheamus is Money in the Bank champion and he could cash in and be the guy.
Well,
and think about it. It's real life. If I'm Triple H and I'm looking to get a corporate champion, logically, I'm not going to try to, you know, these guys are also close to the WWE title. Maybe they don't need Triple H. I'm not going to go to these guys. I'm going to take Sheamus. These guys are going to be in two matches. When they're done, go out there, clock them over the head, become the champion, and we'll help you from there. You know, that makes the most sense.
Would have been better if he just wasn't in the tournament altogether and you kind of forgot about him, because everyone has forgotten about Sheamus anyways.
That's what makes me think that the most likely, if you want to talk about a swerve, I'll put it on the record right now. The most likely swerve is Sheamus cashing in Money in the Bank after the tournament.
Of course.
Because now you got a heel champion who Roman Reigns or some babyface can chase. And it makes sense because he came in after this guy had to fight two matches. And it also makes sense because he's a heel who Triple H would readily be able to say, okay, now I've got my next major champion.
Right. And doesn't Hunter and Sheamus have a little history from WrestleMania's past? I think they do.
Yes, they do. They did fight at WrestleMania 26. I was there live. It wasn't that great of a show, but it was fun to be there live. And you know, that was really one of Triple H's more forgettable WrestleMania matches.
Yes, I would agree with that one. That and Warrior of number 11. So many times, yeah. many things from the H's archive that are forgettable. Okay, so let's one last thing with Survivor Series. Rank in the most upset the Twitter and social media will be with the outcomes. So one being we'll go like a college football playoff with 5-1. What will make the internet most upset, with one being your Clemson?
So you want me to rank what
storylines? No, like the outcome of the main event. What will piss everyone off the most? And say it's the worst thing. What's WWE doing? And maybe start the trending topic of cancel WWE Network.
Oh, you know what would piss people off the most is if Ambrose won the title and Sheamus cashed in, I think it would flip out. If it happened to Reigns, whatever, you know, because we've but if their hero, like, you know, Ambrose is the champion of the internet wrestling community. If he won and Sheamus cashed in, I think that would legitimately make people angry.
Interesting.
In that, like, what are they doing? Sheamus is ice cold. And,
right.
And it's ironic because Sheamus is a cold character, but winning that title from Ambrose really heat him up and make him, like, a legitimate heel that people don't want to see and whatnot.
That is interesting. Now, would it be more anger over him or Owens?
I definitely think Ambrose, because Ambrose is already that built-in babyface, and Owens might not make... I mean, it would have to take a lot of overbooking to establish Owens as, like, I don't know. I think if Owens is established as a heel and Sheamus comes in and cashes in, it'll make, like, a really small segment mad. But in terms of this nuclear heat that makes, like, regular WWE watchers and the, you know, hardcore internet angry, I think everybody would come together and be pissed off if it happened to Ambrose.
What if in their match, Melissa Joan Hart comes down and pulls a Jon Stewart and hits Kevin Owens? What if she comes down and helps Owen and they've been working us all along?
Oh, would love that. You know what they should do is if, like, Dean Ambrose has a chair in his hand and it disappears, and then it magically, you know, the lights go off and they turn back on, and Ambrose is laid out, and then we find that, like, Sabrina the Teenage Witch put a star on him, and her and Kevin Owens are together. That would be great.
Well, it wouldn't surprise you. Dean Ambrose has gotten knocked out by weird, spooky stuff in the past, and that really wouldn't be that far off, now would it be?
And there's going to be a lot of supernatural stuff on this show with the Wyatts and the Undertaker, so, hey, don't rule it out.
It's fine.
You heard it here first.
Yeah, you heard it here first. Sabrina and Kevin Owens have been working us all along, and that tweet was planted, just like everything in wrestling is a work. So that, we cracked the code. I'm glad we did this. It took us 30 minutes, but we finally cracked the code of what's been going on. You know, and that just says something with the Undertaker 25 rivaling Shark Week, Undertaker Week. We haven't even touched on that match because, really, it feels like a throwaway now that it's 2-on-2 instead of 4-on-2, right?
Now that it's a 2-on-2, now that Undertaker and Kane, I mean, beat the hell out of the Wyatts a couple of weeks ago, when this is something that they're supposed to be building to. So I really do think and I hope that the Wyatts win. I mean, I know it's Undertaker 25, I know we're celebrating the Undertaker, but, I mean, wouldn't it be a bigger win if it's like this guy that we're all celebrating just lost to Bray Wyatt? That would be the ultimate passing of the church, And, I mean, it's a win that Bray Wyatt needs. If anybody needs to lose to Bray Wyatt, it's the Undertaker.
Right.
If Wyatt is going to reclaim himself as the new face of fear.
Right. So is it, if that happens and they do put the Wyatts over, new member, a turn? I know the turn's been the focal point of this whole podcast today. But what's the cause of, you know, because they're not going to let them lose cleanly. You know, what's the cause of this lose? Loss.
The cause of the loss is that Wyatts have four people and Undertaker and Kane have two. I mean, they could, I mean, he got outside interference. You know, Braun Strowman is obviously somebody who WWE has at least something invested in. So you have Braun Strowman and Bray Wyatt take the fight to Undertaker and Kane. And Undertaker and Kane make the comeback. But then, you know, Harper and Rowan prove to be too much and it causes Undertaker and Kane to lose. You know, we're not going to hold it against Taker and Kane. It was basically 4-on-2, and the Wyatts look strong. I think, you know, Undertaker and Kane aren't that damaged. You know, they're already Hall of Famers, and the Wyatts look strong, and they're guys who you need to now look strong now that Rollins is gone, John Cena is off doing Fox work.
Yeah.
And, you know, how these young stars come up.
I got an idea for you here for fantasy booking. Tell me how far-fetched this is. The entire heel locker room comes down, beats on Undertaker and Kane, only for Kane and Undertaker to make the comeback, and here's who helps them, Chuck Norris. Your thoughts?
I don't know where they would find Chuck Norris. Based on those tables, they would maybe have to put up the signal for Chuck Norris to hopefully fly down and make the save. Anything involving Chuck Norris, I think, would be amazing.
I mean,
and I think he might be the answer to that. You know, we talk about The Rock. Is The Rock coming back? Is Cena coming back? Who's going to fill the void for Seth Rollins? If it's Chuck Norris, I'm all in.
Now you think it's a good callback to the Survivor Series 95 when he held off the whole entire heel locker room. So why not do it again?
Any team with the Undertaker, that was amazing. I thought that was the greatest thing ever. So if we get that 20 years later, who am I to say that I don't like that?
And why are there no more karate fighters? I loved that as a kid. You know, those little toys, little twisty things, and you knock them off. I very much enjoyed the karate fighters.
They were fun to play with every WWE event, and they were very fun to play with. For something so simple, they were very fun to play with.
Exactly. All right, last thing here as we're wrapping up here. With Rollins out, the buzz was that Roman was going over regardless, and he would have been carrying the title into Mania. You're going to be at Mania. I'll be at Mania. What are we going to see to close out that show?
Brock Lesnar versus Roman Reigns. I think it's a smart way to go. I think if you have Roman Reigns as champion headed into Mania, especially before the Royal Rumble, you avoid that whole nerd rage tapping at the past two Royal Rumbles where Daniel Bryan didn't win. And I just think, you know, Royal Rumble coming up, there's nobody, I've never been this close to Royal Rumble, and there's no favorite. Like, who's going to win the Royal Rumble if Roman Reigns is champion by then? Nobody knows, but I think this is, you book this as a wide open event with a few favorites, and then number 30 is Brock Lesnar, who just comes down and literally throws like 4, 5, 6 guys over the top rope, maybe some of them into the audience, and he is just this pissed off beast who wants his title back, and that's how you build WrestleMania, and I think just thinking about that would be an incredible match headed into WrestleMania.
I like it. Let me counter with this. Roman and Cena and Roman as the heel in this thing, trying to take out the old guard and trying to be the new face of the company, except Roman has around him the Samoan shield of the Usos and a brought up Samoa Joe. Thoughts?
The Roman Empire. I kind of like that. I really do like that. Again, I'm not a fan of you put all the Samoans together because they're Samoan. But
whoa. No. WWE wouldn't do something like that.
I don't know. There's no precedent for that. I'm just assuming. You know?
Not like they put two Samoans together and call them the head shrinkers. No, never.
No grass skirts, nothing like that.
No. But no, I mean.
You do bring up a very interesting dynamic in that, you know, I did say that Roman would be dumb to turn heel. If Roman turned heel on his own terms, and maybe he wasn't this corporate champion, and he turned heel because, you know, the Usos, and yeah, sure, maybe Samoa Joe helped him out. You know, like they all beat up Ambrose, and then he beat them, and so now he's the champion with the stable. That's a way to do it, and you know, to have him as a bad guy facing John Cena, I'd have no problem with it. I think John Cena at WrestleMania, the only two opponents for him that would intrigue me is Roman Reigns and The Undertaker. I think those are the only two guys who, if John Cena faced those two guys, you would get intrigued there, because they've done a good job protecting a Roman Reigns versus John Cena match, and they've done a good job protecting a John Cena versus Undertaker match, so... I think Cena's going to go against The Undertaker, but you never know.
But does it hurt or help that the part-timers, there really isn't a set list of part-timers that are going to come back for this Mania? If you think Rock is out, Stone Cold not going to do anything in the ring aside from maybe a talking segment. Michaels, he's definitely not going to do anything. He's retired as all hell. Flair, not coming back. Maybe Jericho. I mean, there's really no part-timers that are going to come back to help boost the card.
Yeah, and I don't believe this talk that The Rock is out. I mean, The Rock always finds a way to make WrestleMania. He attended, I think, the last five WrestleManias dating back to WrestleMania 26.
But not wrestling, though.
So, you know, I know he's got a schedule and whatnot. I know there's insurance issues. And maybe he won't wrestle a match, but I do expect to see The Rock at least make an appearance at WrestleMania. And if that happens, it'll add a boost. Maybe it'll be a surprise, which won't help pay-per-view numbers. But, you know, I expect to see all hands on deck. And WWE, you know, they could get creative with having the wrestlers. You know, Austin could still deliver a stunner.
Right.
And if he's advertised to appear in a segment, that's going to help. So, you know, I think WWE is going to really just make calls out to as many people as possible and have all hands on deck. So, again, they really need to position the part-timers in the background. So them not wrestling might be a blessing in disguise in that, yeah, the part-timers are here to commemorate everything they've done. And the new guys are here to lead us into a new era. So I have no problem with that.
So that being said, do you make maybe not a Brock versus Roman main event? Do you make a Brock Dean Ambrose main event? Dean Ambrose, sorry.
That does nothing for me. Brock and Dean Ambrose does nothing for me. I mean, Brock and Roman at least has a story.
Yeah.
You know, it's a win that Roman needs to get in order to be entrenched. I mean, what the hell would Dean Ambrose be doing in the ring?
I don't know.
Brock Lesnar, yeah, I know he's a scrappy, crazy guy. It just, the styles clash. I just don't think it'd be a good match. I don't think they could tell an intriguing story. You know, it would be forced, and I would not care for it at all.
Agreed. One last thing.
I would like Ambrose and Jericho, really, because, you know, remember they had that match where Jericho, you know, bumped shoulders with Ambrose. I mean, that could be a good match, and
he's got something
to work with there.
I didn't even think of that right there. I think this whole WrestleMania card, it's very wide. I mean, I'm sure in the next couple of months we'll see a lot more come into play with Mania or with the Rumble and, you know, that moving parts going from there. But really, this is very wide open. And does the WWE even need these part-timers to sell out Jerry World? Because when I was on there trying to buy my tickets in the pre-sale, the pre-pre-sale, I really couldn't get anything.
Yeah, WrestleMania sells itself, so I wouldn't say they don't, because Jerry World is 100,000 seats. They're going to need as much star power as possible to sell that venue out. But WrestleMania alone, the brand name, it's easily going to clear 70,000 to 80,000. So to make up that last 30,000 of people who are going to be packed into an enormous stadium,
right,
you're going to need a blockbuster main event. You're going to need the Brock Lesnar's. You're going to need big-time, big names.
I got one more name that may or may not appear. We brought him up on the first time we talked on this show. His name got brought in the news today on an interview that Triple H happened to do. Yes or no, Hulk Hogan at WrestleMania 32.
Well, I mean, the fact that Triple H is bringing it up now, I mean, It could happen. And, I mean, it's WrestleMania 30. Yeah, you know what? I'm going to go yes. Because I Hulk Hogan to be back. I didn't think it would be this soon, but it's going to set the record for the amount of people in an indoor attendance. And whether or not you believe the record that they had for WrestleMania 3, that included Hulk Hogan. So it would only be fitting to have him there when they sold out WrestleMania 32 and had 150,000 people attend. To have Hulk Hogan there, it just makes it, I think they're going to find a way to get him back in there. I mean, people forgive. I feel like people already were ready to forgive Hulk Hogan as soon as this happened because of, you know, he's a childhood icon and, you know, he's more of a caricature than anything else. So, yeah, I do think Hulk Hogan will be at WrestleMania 32.
If Paula Deen can go on Dancing with the Stars after everything she's done, I think Hulk Hogan could come by for a 5-minute stop at WrestleMania 32.
Absolutely. I mean, he's doing the apology tour right now. I think he's putting himself in position to get back in the good graces of WWE.
I think I even said it back in, much like how you said Jason Jordan was going to be the next, one of the big breakout stars of NXT. I'm pretty sure we go back in the tapes. I said Hulk will be back by WrestleMania just because I had a feeling this would blow over, not blow over, but he would, start the apologies and, you know, come back, in the public forum. So, yeah, I think we covered everything here in the 40 minutes. So Pod Nasty is doing big things. Who do you got on the docket coming up here, you know, in the next coming weeks?
Well, you know, WWE does a great job giving me some interviews. I don't have anything on the docket coming up, but coming out of Survivor Series is going to be a lot of chances and opportunities. I like doing podcasts whenever I get a good interview, whenever I get somebody I think people want to hear from in the WWE world or in the TNA world or whatnot. So there's going to be a lot of big things, so just stay tuned.
There you go. Well, that's the thing. I was just thinking this when we were talking about NXT. Those TNA Ring of Honor stars that come in NXT, I saw a thing that, you know, they're welcomed in that venture, but they're not welcome in the main roster. Does that kind of hurt their standings as being an independent contractor, or is it good because they at least get on the program, which will help them, you know, while they go on the independent circuit afterwards?
I think if you're an independent contractor, you want to be in NXT more than you want to be in WWE because that's like the super indie, that's the place to be. In terms of an audience that's going to watch NXT, a lot of them are going to turn around and go to indie shows.
Yeah.
You know, it does have to be on WWE, don't get me wrong, but you want to shoot for NXT because a lot of these indie fans are going to be watching and they're going to see when it's going to extend your brand because it's the same thing as being on WWE programming. It's owned by WWE. So, you know, I don't think people look at it that, oh, they couldn't get on WWE. I think they look at it as they're too cool for WWE in that corporate brand.
Yeah, as a James Storm wouldn't get the amount of pop that he would get on Raw, right?
James Storm, if he were to come out on WWE Raw, people would say, man, Bray Wyatt lost a lot of weight.
I didn't even think of that. Poor James. I mean, it's nice that where he is, but yeah, hell, maybe put him in a family member costume. Let him be a part of that member. It'd be a lot better than the following or whatever that was they had in TNA.
Yeah, he ripped it off in TNA. Why not do it in WWE?
Yeah, might as well put them all together. All right, Alfred, I'm gonna cut you loose here. I'll let you get back to what you're doing on your end. We'll get back to doing here, and hopefully, all the stuff we gas bagged about comes to fruition and the internet doesn't complain about it because they are a very forgiving and rational bunch.
Absolutely.
All right, that's this week's episode with Alfred. Go make sure you check out all his video work at Bleacher Report and all his written work over at Forbes. And even, I think we forgot to mention his new work over at WrestleZone, too. He's a man of many many ventures and many places where he can pop up and give his opinions and, you know, what he thinks about wrestling and just like this show right here. So thank you for him to coming on. Also, leave a list to Joan Hart alone. Man, she was one fan, had one opinion, and, you know, whenever you anger
the wrestling fans, they will come after you like locusts. So maybe they'll come after me for sticking up for her. Make me feel bad. She's one casual fan, had one opinion, one harmless tweet. I'm sure the people who decide to attack her for, you know, her opinion have, you know, never said anything that has stepped out of bounds or given an opinion that a lot of people have, not agreed upon. So leave her alone. She's a great fan. You know, the WWE needs more celebrity fans just like her, who just enjoy the product and really have a good time with it. So that's my PSA. Leave people alone, be nice, and go from there. Okay, it's almost been an hour. Thanksgiving week. Thank you for listening here. We'll be back probably next week with an episode. Not really sure with all the travel and what have you, so maybe take a week off. Maybe have our own little bye week. So if anything, for the TJ Macklin Show, I'm TJ Macklin. We'll catch you next time.